You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, it's Thursday morning. Here in the Farm Bureau studios, I'm Charlie Winfield. He's Bart Gregory. Bulldogs coming off a baseball win against Samford, and it was one that required them to go extra innings. State traveling down to Gainesville, Florida, to play the Gators of Florida, who, as they are wont to do, took a pounding in a midweek game against Florida State. And Florida, man, Bart, if we were getting the midweek edition of the Florida Gators, I'd feel pretty good. The weekend edition, not bad. And, man, here's the one thing about it. I always say it's very difficult to compare teams early. But you're starting to get into the SEC season, and here's what is probably unique about this one. We got the same six games in SEC play against common opponents. I don't remember that happening.
I can't remember that happening either. You know, we played LSU at home and then on the road at A&M. They played A&M at home and then on the road at LSU. And so when you start doing a stats comparison between the two teams, you've gotten the same pitching that you've hit against. You pitched to the same batters. And so that is kind of weird. Now, I will add an addendum to what you were talking about being in the Farm Bureau studios. It is early on a Thursday morning. I'm not used to getting up this early, Charlie.
Well, it's probably going to do you some good. And you know, I'm calling you out on that. I just can't believe, for all this Nanawoya stuff, that the Roosters don't get crowing down there early.
We don't have roosters.
Do you not have roosters?
No, we do not have roosters. I don't want anything waking me up early in the morning. Now, what we do is we work late in the day. Our tractors have lights on them.
I gotcha.
And so we work late in the day, and we get up, we get a late start to the day is what we do.
See, you're one of these, like, leisure farmers. You know,
nothing wrong with that.
You have the subsistence farming, you have commercial farming, and then I don't even want to know what you're going to, like, kumquats or something.
There's a guy in Hollandale right now that is cringing. He's on a tractor right now listening to this show saying, you're not a real farmer.
He would be right. All right, have we closed the book on basketball season, just to be clear?
I have. Mentally, I have. I'm completely gone.
Well, you're better than me. Are you watching any of the tournament that's going on now?
I have not watched much at all.
I'm interested in the Alabama-North Carolina game later tonight.
If I were interested in a game, that would probably be it. Yeah, I'll probably watch tonight. And we talked about this on Sunday. I watched a little bit of the Auburn game and saw the ejection. That's about it. But yeah, I'll probably get back into going. I think a lot of last weekend had to do with the way we played on Thursday, and so now I'm going to jump back in.
Well, we'll be. It's going to take me a little bit, but I think I will adjust. All right, these two teams, baseball, that's what's at the forefront now. And before we get into this weekend series, by the way, if you're going to take a game, better not wait to Sunday to try to do it, in my analysis.
No.
But first, let's talk about us. We go over to Samford. And, like, Pico gets the start. You've got him back. Pico just needs a little spring training time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of take a guy who'd been injured and throw him into it. And isn't that why you're going to see him in the midweek?
Yeah, you're going to see him in the midweek and build him up. It's kind of like Bradley Lofton. We saw him in the midweek to build him to the weekend. So now you don't see him in the midweek, and you're probably going to see him on the weekend, you would think. And so there is an acclimation period. You think back to Will Bednar. Of course, that was a different story a few years ago with the arm trouble that Will had. And early in the season, didn't pitch the opening weekend in 2021. And then, you know, two or three weeks deep, you pitch him an inning, and then it's two innings, and then it's four innings, and then boom, yeah, there he goes. And I actually think that may have been one of the reasons that Bednar was so good late in the year is because it was almost like he had a month shorter season. Hey, you think back to guys like, and this is kind of an off-brand, you think back to Roger Clemens and some of those guys. Now, they may have been doing it for different purposes, but they would start the season later. Remember that? You don't see as much of that anymore as you did, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, where you had guys actually starting the season in May.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, but that was kind of part of their deal later in their career, is that you're not going to see me in April.
You're going to see me in May, and we're going to pitch late in the year.
So I do think that helped us. In 21, I think one of the things that helped us was that you had guys like Landon Sims that you didn't overuse, even though there were Sundays you kind of wanted to go to him. And Bednar coming along when he did, I think you could make a strong argument that that helped us.
And then going back to Pico on Tuesday, you know, you start him in a game. Samford is not an easy place to pitch because at times that can be a real big hitter's ballpark. And so it was a little bit different the other night. I mean, Samford's always a good team. That's always like a trap game going over there. They put a lot of emphasis in that, and Samford's got a good baseball program. Bryce Chance had the big hit, you know, late in the game. Getting the home run, it kind of cracked the ice for you. Dakota and Hunter Hines had the back-to-back home runs in that game. I mean, that is a hitter's ballpark. The lights are not great. And I'll tell you what, Charlie, the difference in the other night and the difference in the first weekend of the season against Air Force and then that game on Tuesday night against Austin Peay is you were able to get the outs in the latter innings, in the eighth and the ninth inning. You were able to get the outs instead of a guy getting a bleeder through the right side. That's the difference in winning a close game like that and not.
All right, you mentioned Dakota Jordan. And one of the things that we always talk about is our guys developing, our guys getting better. And you start to look at his numbers just across the board. And I get it. We're only about halfway. Well, we're right at halfway to where he was last year in terms of games played. The batting average is up significantly. The on-base percentage is up. The slugging percentage is up. He's almost scored already this year as many runs. I think he's like one off of the runs he scored last year. Home runs, he's already eclipsed where he was last year. It is really easy to sit around and say, man, we're not developing guys or guys aren't getting better. Dakota Jordan, the year he is putting together so far is phenomenal.
It really is. And that's the thing, Charlie. You look at how you evaluate players 2 and 3 years deep in your program. And one of the things that, you know, you have to ask yourself, are players developing? Are they getting better? And you have to say Dakota Jordan is getting better. Connor Hizak is a different player this year than he was last year. I mean, Connor Hizak's hitting over 400 in league play. Hunter Hines has kind of caught fire. We knew early on he was hitting for a better average. He was going to hit home runs. He's turned the page. Hunter Hines is a better player. Hunter Hines is a much, much dramatically improved defender at first base this year. And so you look around the field and you have guys who are getting better. That's the positive for me.
All right. There are some guys that we need to kind of have that Hizak turnaround. Hizak started the year slow and has really picked it up. Ultimately, we need Kohler to hit the ball.
Yeah. And he did at Memphis. And, of course, I know that's a different – you know, it's just a buzzsaw when you get into conference play because everybody out there is legit. And so you gotta start getting a little bit of production out of that position, even though you've been getting great play in the field.
All right, so Dakota's playing well. Mershon has come back to earth, but he's still playing well.
You know, here's the thing that surprised me about Mershon. He is second in the SEC. You talk about the six games in conference play. He's second in the league in strikeouts. He struck out 11 times in six games.
So that struck me as odd, too, looking at it. In fact, I was listening to Jim Ellis the other night call the game over at Samford, and we had Mershon up. Remember we had that one inning. I can't remember if it was the seventh or the eighth, but it was really frustrating. We got bases loaded, one out. We were in a great spot. We had a man on second, nobody out. We don't score a run. And I remember Jim making the comment about Mershon, hey, he's a guy that's going to put it in play. And it sent me back to thinking about that's one of the things we really talked about his first 10, 11 games back was he wasn't striking out, period. I think he had one through that span. And now you're sitting here looking at Mershon having struck out 19 times. So that's a little bit surprising. Now, that's an adjustment that I expect to see made. And, look, batting average, he's still second on the team.
He is. And it seems like some of – and I may be overanalyzing this. It seems like a lot of his swings and misses have been breaking ball down. And I look back and even Jake Mangum early in his career, you think back to Jake, especially from the right side of switch hitter, where you're coming up there with a different look every it seems like every single time you're going right to left. It's almost like you don't have in your mind of where that box is out there. You know, you're looking into a box. Okay, well, that's a strike. That's a ball. And spin down gave Jake trouble from the right side. When he was batting from the right side, spin down gave him trouble. And I can kind of see that a little bit out of Mershon.
Well, you remember, too, Jake's freshman year. I know towards the end of the year, there were a lot of balls that basically were bouncing off the plate. Now, I mean, look, the guy led the league in hitting. So
right.
I mean, you got to put it all in context. But even the best hitters have their flaws. That was his, I think, that first year. Hizak's playing better. Hunter Hines, the average is ticking up. Slugging percentage is coming along. He started hitting the ball for power. That's the one thing that has surprised me about this team is if everything about us is better except our slugging percentage as a team. I mean, our power numbers just aren't there. And you start to look at it, you go Dakota Jordan with 12 home runs. Hunter Hines has 7. And then the next guy on your team is Bryce Chance with 3.
Well, okay. Are we the pitcher that pitches better at 92 instead of 96? And the reason I say that, are we a better team when we're not trying to hit home runs? Because you look around the league, in league games, in 6 games, we've hit 7. That's it. Florida, the difference for Florida, they've hit 16. They strike out more than we do. And you start looking at, like I said, you can have that comparison between Florida and us because we play the same exact teams. They've struck out 66 times. We struck out 53. So that's 13 fewer strikeouts. They've hit 9 more home runs, 16 home runs to our 7. They take big swings. And so there are just different ways to get there. We're hitting for a better average than Florida, 293. So I think one of the things we're going to have to ask ourselves, and you're probably not going to know this until week 7 of SEC play, are we a better team because we're not up there trying to hit a bunch of home runs? I thought that was one of the flaws we had maybe in the first couple weeks of the season. We had guys up there that were not home run hitters trying to hit a bunch of home runs.
There were some really big swings. I want to talk for a minute about playing in Gainesville. You've been to a number of games there. I've been to some.
But it's a different ball game now because it's a different ballpark. And
yeah, I keep forgetting that.
And this is a new ballpark. When the old ballpark, you know, it was right there by the O-Dome, by the O'Connell Center, and it faced southeast. And so if you got a westerly wind, it was blowing out the left field. And I remember Mike Zanino off of Lindgren one day hit a ball that one hopped to O-Dome in left field. It went over the bus that ever departed in left field. It was one of the craziest things. It was a 1-1 game in the 8th inning, and that dude hit a ball that hadn't landed yet. But that was a Cracker Jack box that really lended itself. I mean, you think back to the home run that they hit in Super Regional down there, and we had the lead. Caleb comes in there, throws a changeup down and away, and Preston Tucker golfs one out of there, and that's keeps you out of the College World Series in 2011. This is a different ballpark. It faces northeast, and so which is traditional. That's what ours does. The wind this weekend, I was looking at the wind, tomorrow night, Friday night, the wind's going to be blowing in from right field. Now, the thing about Saturday, the wind's going to be blowing out of the southwest, which is straight out to center field. And with these big swings, I think Cal Steven, that slider had better be working Saturday. Because if he has just one pitch and the wind blowing out in Florida, very similar to LSU where they're trying to get lift, you better have some pitches with a slider, a secondary pitch that's working down in the zone.
All right, how do you see our rotation for the weekend?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out Friday. You know, what do you do on Friday? And
do you start Lofton?
I might do that.
They'll be throwing a left-hander, big tall guy. Maybe we throw our own left-hander out there.
Throw him out there, see how long he goes.
Well, and I think part of it for me is I think you know what you have with Sierra right now. And Sierra is not going to go out there, watch him do it now that I've said this, but Sierra's not going to go out there and hold Florida to one run.
No, he's a – you know, what Evan is he's a strike thrower, and it's a good fastball. It's not an overpowering fastball. It's not a ton of movement. I mean, he does what he does. Now, the question is do you throw Lofton out there Because right now you've been back-ending Sierry with Nolan Stevens, which is a completely different look.
And I'm not sure you want to back-end Lofton
with him. With Nolan Stevens. And so that, you know, you have to start figuring out your matchups and who you bring in. So I don't know exactly what you do tomorrow night. Have we even said yet? I don't think we've even released that yet, have we? That should come out later today, I would think.
Hey, we have not that I have seen. But I do think it's significant that you didn't see him pitch the other night. And we needed innings. You go back the other night, we threw Schulke 3 1/3. We threw Auger in the game. Of course, Auger hadn't had enough work lately, so that's understandable. But I mean, we had Tyler Davis out there.
Who looked good late in the game.
All right, I'm getting away from Florida here, but let's talk about him a minute. Is he the most improved pitcher on this team? I start to look around and look, there's a lot of guys who have improved on this team. But when I look at Tyler Davis, you know, we talk all the time about when we're doing games and we hit the cough button, what are we saying? There were plenty of times last year that I saw Tyler Davis and I hit the button and be like, what are we doing? Man, this guy's going to get somebody hurt, probably himself. And now you look, and we've seen this before, right? I think of Jared Liebelt. Remember Liebelt?
Oh, yeah.
He was not good year one.
The first year,
he was,
yeah,
dominant year two. And so now let's talk about Tyler Davis a minute. Other than Schulke, he has the most appearance on the team. You've got Auger and Tyler Davis with 10 appearances, Schulke in 14. But in Tyler Davis's 13 innings, he's allowed 2 earned runs. He struck out 19 in 13 innings. Opponents are hitting 220 against him. I mean, he's kind of doing what you want to do, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And you got to think, too, when the season started, he was giving up twice as many hits as he was pitching innings. Through, I think, the first 6 innings he threw, he had given up like 11 or 12 hits. And so he's even gotten better as league play has begun. He looked to me the other night, he had a swagger out there. And I think, to me, what's the old adage? You got to pitch with conviction. He's out there pitching with conviction right now. And that's the thing that I really like about him a lot. He's got a little bit of moxie out there. I thought last year when he got hit and then he was having trouble throwing strikes, you could see it was really weighing on him emotionally out on the mound. And you go back to that point, and I've got it in my head now, you know, that term, he was not pitching with conviction. And this year he is.
All right, so let me make the case for Bradley Lofton getting a start. Lofton right now, and again, he hasn't done it against league play, but ERA's 3.3. Here's the thing that jumps out at me. Strikeout to walk ratio 12-1, and opponents are hitting 233 against him. So in 8 innings, he's walked 1, he struck out 12. Opponents hitting just 233. And that just kind of says, man, the guy, look, we didn't bring Bradley Lofton in here to get mop-up duty against Jackson State.
No, and two, you know, you talk about that strikeout to walk ratio. Against Florida, that's accentuated a little bit because they are such a home run hitting team, and they have not hit for as big an average as we have. They're not an average hitting team. I mean, they're going to hit home runs. And I think that's where we got into trouble last year is teams that like Florida.
They're hitting 267 through 6 league games. By comparison, we might at times say, well, our bats got to do better. We're hitting 293 as a team.
Yeah, we're hitting 30 points higher. Yeah. And so putting free bases on and walking guys this weekend in front of free swingers is not what you want to do. If a guy hits a solo home run, let him hit it. That's fine. It's just as long as it's not a 2 or 3 run home run after a walk and a hit batsman.
A few things jumped out at me about Florida. You just hit one of them. And I'm looking at SEC games. 16 home runs, that's tied at the top of the league with Tennessee. Batting average, not great, so it just fits the profile of a team that's taking big swings. They strike out a lot, 66 times. That's the most in the league in terms of hitters striking out, other than Missouri.
Other than Missouri, that's what I was about to say. We count that.
Put an asterisk there. They don't run a lot. They've only attempted 2 stolen bases in those 6 games.
Yeah, O'Sullivan doesn't run a whole lot. Hey, okay, let's bring the caveat in. Florida, it seems like every game they play, everybody's getting worn. Jay Johnson got thrown out of the game on Sunday. I mean, there's going to be some jawing this weekend. And how do you allow that to get into your mindset out there? And that's been going on forever. And that whole shtick that they go through, and it's, I mean, they've done it ever since, you know, Sully's been down there. I mean, they're not that formidable opponent that you look in the dugout and you have a tremendous amount of respect for. Is that a nice way of putting it?
Okay, I think what you're saying is if, you know, was it the Daughters of the American Revolution used to come around to schools and give out the citizenship award?
Yeah.
You're not going to see many of these guys getting the citizenship awards, what you're telling me.
And I will say this, still looking back, and it's been 13 years, watching Butch Thompson walk through that line after that Game 3 in Gainesville that day, because he was going after Sully. He was going after him. And Norris, the first base coach who had coached with Butch before, jumped in between them. That was Monroe County redneck going after it right there. I'll never forget that.
Well, let's see. Now, Butch can do that now and then, right? He can.
That was after Mangione tripped the first baseman.
I will be honest with you. That there were things that went on back in those early Cohen days that I didn't like. That was one of them. Mangione, there was a pop-up by first base, and he walked directly into the line of the first baseman going after the pop-up.
Now, he'll tell you that he didn't mean to do it.
Well, he'd be lying when he told you. I'd tell you a lot of things about my high school athletic career, and I'd be lying when I told you those.
The older you get, the better you were?
All right, so obviously Cags is the guy that everybody wants to talk about on this Florida team. He's unique.
He's a really good player. I mean, he's great. And now is he had 8 home runs this weekend after I say this. There are a lot of guys out there in the industry. You know, a couple of years ago it was Ivan Menendez. Which one of them was it? It was some dude.
Oh, the guy over at Texas, the Hispanic Titanic or whatever they were calling him.
And so Caglione is a good player. He is a really good player. He is a great pitcher. He's a good player in the field. And he is
– okay, hold on, because I know where you're going. This is where you're about to hit the butt. The guy's hitting .402 with 12 home runs. I mean, it gets your attention, doesn't it?
It does. But they're talking about him in the same vein as, you know, in the same way they talked about Paul Skeens last year. Paul Skeens, when he got into league play, and he was like head and shoulders above everybody.
All right. Caglione, pitching on the mound, his ERA is like 1.65. He gave up 3 of the runs he allowed in his first appearance.
He's not in the top 15 in hitting in league games.
Okay.
And so that's I go ahead and say the caveat. He'll go 9-for-13, and he'll be the SEC Player of the Week next week.
All right, you want to look up his pitching numbers in league games?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if you're gonna say this guy's Roy Hobbs,
okay.
Hey, he's good. Caglione is a really, really good player.
All right. By the way, let's take one quick second to say this. Speaking, because I was talking about athletic achievements, I would like to think that the Team Bulldog Initiative right now. In the Startville Stride Challenge put on by Startville.org. Startville, do you know, are you familiar with this challenge?
Yes, I am.
And so I'd say, like to tell you, we're 7th right now.
Is there any way to manipulate the analytics in this deal?
There must be, because if there is not, there are a few of these teams ahead of us who deserve some, like, I don't know if they've got the Fitbit on their poodle. I don't know what they're doing. But something is amiss when your whole team can walk like 40,000. I mean,
we're going to
basically have entire teams of people doing half marathons every day.
Well, so what you're saying is some of these real estate groups are walking to their appointments instead of, you know, driving. Or are they just walking all day?
They got their arm out the window shaking it.
We need to on Sunday, we need to start figuring out who's ahead of y'all. We'll start figuring out what they're doing.
Now, I figured out who is a powerful opponent in those challenges, and that's the disc golf guys.
Oh, yeah.
There are some, by the way, if you go by the vet school on campus, there's some disc golf fanatics. And I didn't really understand the degree to which this is a thing. But, I mean, some of these guys, they pop the tailgate, man, and they've got like an arsenal. They've got all sorts of things.
Have you ever disc golfed before?
No.
I hadn't either. And I'm not judging anybody that does it. I think it's, you know, actually okay. Pretty cool.
No, I'm not opposed to it. I don't do it. But, hey, so things going on. Here's the one thing I would tell everybody. What was the old – you remember the old Saturday Night Live Hans and Franz deal?
You know, hear the pomp, you up.
Yeah, hear me now, believe me later. Hear me now, believe me later. Go ahead and make reservations when you're coming into town, because what you find is during the month of April, as we get closer to graduation, I was out getting a little exercise yesterday, and the sorority girl epidemic of getting in their graduation gear and having somebody take all their pictures in front of the Mississippi State sign and the bully and all this, it's already occurring. And the more that occurs, the more sentimental parents are going to want to be here. The restaurants are going to be busy here in Starville. So do it now.
And here, too, when you look outside the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starville, of course, Farm Bureau go with the home team at Farm Bureau, I see some freshly laid pavement, Charlie.
We are cleaning up our mess.
And we are finally getting to the phase now where the underground has been taken care of, and they will begin the aesthetic enhancement of the downtown area.
Well, think about what you don't see out there. You don't see gravel. You see some people starting to paint some new lines. We're getting our act together, Bart.
You don't have as much dust. That's the positive there.
Well, I was hoping I would get like a free cleaning to my office downtown, because maybe a repainting.
Hey, you're talking about Starville. You're talking about getting those reservations. When you come into town to eat at these great restaurants, and the restaurants have gotten even better here in Starville. Also, get your Bulldog Initiative gear and your Mississippi State gear with our friends at Maroon & Company.
I saw somebody, by the way, yesterday in a Bulldog Initiative sweatshirt, and I'm seeing more and more of those, but I saw somebody just out walking. And I wanted to pull over and say thank you, but they had been to Maroon & Company. And I've got my family members now, and the cups and the mugs, you've seen those.
I have
loaded up on those. Yeah, the guys over at Maroon & Company have been great. And, look, if you want the state script, if you want the interlocking MSU, go see our friends over there. They've got all of that. But, man, there's a lot going on in Starville right now. The Hub is going to have a new opening. You familiar with the Hub?
I am familiar with the Hub. My wife actually has an office over there.
All right, so the Hub, for those who don't know, is the old Cadence Bank building. Mississippi State bought it, but they've done new landscaping. They've cleaned it up. It's looking good. So a lot of things going good in Starville right
now. They put a, you know, it's almost like a workspace over there. And every now and then, just to get out of the office.
Sneak over.
I'll sneak over there. Because it's hooked up to the Mississippi State internet, and I could do a lot of my work. Now, you got to have a key card to get into the office space, so you just can't walk in and find Bart. But I'll do that every now and then.
I'd like to hide behind a key card now and then. All right, so coming back next weekend, though, we're going to have Georgia in town. Is that right?
Georgia in town next weekend. And so, hey, I did have a meeting yesterday. I was in Tupelo yesterday, and I walked into my meeting with a cup of blueberry cobbler flavored coffee yesterday. See my good buddy Buzzy Mize up in Tupelo. And he was like, hey, you got blueberry cobbler in that thing? I was like, I absolutely got blueberry cobbler in that thing. And so, Charlie, I mean, I know you poked some fun at me the other day. I'll talk it and I'll walk it.
I was not poking fun. I was reporting what other people were saying.
Yeah, man, I actually went by the Tupelo store yesterday of Strange Brew. Hey, you can go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship that great coffee to you. Spring Street and Highway 12 here in Starville. Tupelo as well, and that's where I went. Hey, if I got to go to, I've got to go to Tuscaloosa or to Birmingham next week, I'll stop through Tuscaloosa. I'll pull over to Strange Brew next week. And so go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and they'll ship you that great blueberry cobbler-flavored coffee.
All right, so this weekend, what do you take?
One. That's the bare bone minimum. You take one, you're 4-5, okay, feel good about it. Then you got to take care of business against Georgia. But, you know, Florida's a good team, man. They're 4-2. They're a good team on the weekend. They're a really good team with the pitching staff they have on the weekend.
But so here's what – and there's no real way to say this without seeming like I'm putting them down. They're 4-2 in the league. They've played what we believe to be a couple of good teams. There are people ranking Florida in the top 10, number 6 coming into the week in some polls. They're 14-10. What what is it about Florida? Are they, do they lack talent?
No, they got a ton of talent.
Why are they losing to St. John's? Why are they losing to Stetson? Why are they losing a game to Miami, UCF, St. Mary's, Florida State twice, Jacksonville? I mean, what's
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have a grown-up moment right here.
All right.
And I am going to wait to talk my trash after we play them.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not calling them out. I guess what I'm saying is I don't understand it.
They're too good of a team to be losing to those teams. They are too talented of a team to have the losses that they have had. And, you know, last year, late in the year, they put it together, began to put it together, and they got deep in the College World Series. That's what worries you about going into a weekend, is this is going to be a team that sooner or later is going to put it together. But right now, they haven't fully. Now, they're 4-2 in the league. I mean, they're in the top half of the league right now. I guess the other question is, too, this – I mean, Charlie, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from us and winning 2 out of 3 against LSU. But I went back and watched some of those Florida-LSU games last weekend, and I don't know what it is about winning the national championship, starting with us, and then Ole Miss. But LSU, when you start looking at them against Florida and look at how that they performed against us last weekend, especially in game threes, I mean, they got run ruled in game three against us and Florida. So I don't know how good LSU is.
No, that's that game three's become a real problem for them. But LSU did beat Florida 6-4 in game one. Excuse me, 6-1 in game one. If there's one thing that's common, Florida hadn't pitched it great on the front of any series.
No, they haven't, but they've pitched it well in, on the back end of series. Caglione has been really good in Sunday games.
Oh, you mean the guy that you were saying is Roy Hobbs
a minute ago? I was talking about from a hitting standpoint.
Roy Hobbs could pitch, too.
He
struck
could.
Struck out the whammer. But that middle game with LSU is an 11-inning game. Does that, if that goes the other way, we're sitting here maybe saying,
yeah,
Florida's not that great. This has a chance for me, as I look at it. This is a series we can go take a game. If we get really lucky, we could take two. But if you're drawing the bell curve, I think it's going to center around one.
Yeah.
You got a chance to go down there and get swept.
Oh, you got a very good chance. But, I mean, you just have to – it goes back to the old, you know, take one on the road, take two at home, you end up being okay.
Well, we need to be a 500 team.
Hey, also, we talk about great restaurants and things. You talk about our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. They serve it at great restaurants around the Southeast. And one of my favorite restaurants to go to, if, you know, I talk about my Starkville restaurants, but one of my favorite places to go, without doubt, and we have some friends in Memphis. We'll meet them over in Greenwood and go to the Crystal Grill. And they've got that – I ate that blackened catfish that they have at the Crystal Grill. They got those high meringue pies. But the Crystal Grill, if you have never had the Crystal Grill in Greenwood, and I'm not trying to overstate this at all, it is literally one of the top places you can possibly go to in the state of Mississippi. There are plenty of times when we lived here in Starkville, we would just load up hour and a half right over to Greenwood, and we would have a Sunday afternoon, you know, 1 o'clock – lunch on Sundays at the Crystal Grill, and you can get that great catfish that's on the menu at the Crystal Grill from our good friends at Heartland Catfish. It's all in Itabena, Mississippi. From their ponds to your plate, our good friends at Heartland Catfish. And also Country Pleasing Sausage. We talked about that great Country Pleasing Sausage. I talked to Henry Cooper just the other day, and they're making it down in Florence, Mississippi on Highway 49, the Country Meat Packers. They've got that huge butcher shop down there. And so if you're looking for something for the weekend, wanting to grill some steaks, you want to put some mac and cheese wrapped, or the pork tenderloin that is wrapped around mac and cheese, which is really, really good.
Whoa.
They put mac
and cheese. Don't you call that like stuff, not wrapped around?
Well, you can't.
I don't think I've ever heard pork tenderloin wrapped around anything.
Well, it is.
You stuff the pork tenderloin, right?
No, it's just different ways. It's different ways to get there,
okay.
Right? At the end of the day, it's the same thing.
Grab me that tenderloin. We're going to wrap it around some mac and cheese.
Well, that's exactly what they said. I guarantee you, hey, get some macaroni and cheese. Let's wrap some pork tenderloin around that thing. Put a little bacon around it. And we're going
to
be all
right. If you go down to Country Pleasing and Country Meat Packers and you say – hey, guys, can I get some – I'm begging somebody to do this. Go in there and say, hey, I'd like a pork tenderloin wrapped around some mac and cheese. Please do.
They would do it for you, man. I'm telling you, they would. They smoking ribs and everything. They have a great plate lunch if you're driving through that area. But
now, I don't know the details on this yet, by the way. But, you know, we've got the Starkville Derby that will be coming up here before long. Apparently, there is a sausage-eating contest that's going to be involved in this. I don't know if it's the playoff, the wiener dog. I guess that's it. Or a sausage dog. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
I'm not a – what are those things? Dotsons. I'm not a Dotson guy. I'm not anti-Dotson. I just don't
– don't understand.
Never owned one.
Yeah.
I'm more of a big dog kind of guy. But
more of a lab.
But apparently, they're going with a country pleasing. So we'll check back for details on that.
Okay. All right. But countrypleasing.com, it doesn't matter if you live in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and you're eating that beef sausage up there, that kielbasa. You will, if you ever get country pleasing sent to you, you won't eat that kielbasa.
Is kielbasa beef sausage?
It's some kind of sausage.
I mean, you're throwing around a lot of.
I'm fine with that.
A lot of facts today. I'm just trying to fact check you in real time.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it
may be. I'm not telling you that it's not.
I can say whatever I want to say, Charlie. And
it is a meat sausage, by the way.
It is, and you don't have to back. It is.
I'm sorry. When you say meat, I was thinking like, I don't know if it's beef.
Hey, it's political speech time, man. You can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't have to be true.
The main ingredients are pork, beef, turkey, lamb, chicken, or veal. So you could be right.
Veal kielbasa.
All right. Ball games this weekend. Right now, I'm giving you one. Take or leave it.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Hey, when you look around the league, you know, we only play – there's only three series this weekend that are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A lot of them start today. You've got four series that start today. LSU and Arkansas, Auburn at Texas A&M, Missouri at Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and then South Carolina is at Alabama. And then you look at the Sunday series – the Friday, Saturday, Sunday is us in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and then Kentucky at Ole Miss. Easter weekend this weekend, sometimes you'll see a lot of teams play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so we'll get the Easter game on Sunday. And, hey, when you look at the standings too, you only got two teams in the league that are 5-1. Arkansas on our side is 5-1. Kentucky on the other side is 5-1. Of course, Kentucky's gotten to play Missouri. Did you see where they played that game last Saturday in Columbia, Missouri? It was 47 degrees with a 10-mile-an-hour north wind, and it went 2-1. Can you imagine sitting in Columbia, Missouri, just how cold that had to have been and how miserable that would have had to have been to watch Kentucky and Missouri play baseball at 2-1?
High school metal bleachers.
Oh, man. Florida.
Hey, that actually, I'm going to get away from baseball because I just took a little shot at the facilities at Missouri. One thing that I would say is, having been around, you and I both did a lot of women's basketball, which I think, as you described it once, has allowed us to play horse in some really cool venues.
And win a lot of good horse games, too.
But if you were – I think most people have this idea of Florida being some glamorous place with great facilities. If you've ever been there
– Yeah. Their baseball stadium's okay. The new one is okay.
But, I mean, does the O-Dome do much for you?
Yeah, I love the smell of chlorine.
I mean, cause
the natatorium is attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing special at all. The football stadium, the only cool thing about the football stadium is it's always open.
It is.
So during the day, if you want to go run bleachers, and why would you?
You know what it needs? I always said that Knoxville, and this is, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to be negative at all. I always thought the city of Knoxville was a place that just needed a good pressure washing. I always thought the athletic facilities of Florida just needed a good pressure washing. Because if you ever walk into Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, the first thing you say is, man, this thing needs some chlorine and a pressure washer.
A coat of paint.
Yeah. Okay, hey, I tell you what. I think I have let last weekend go, even though some people, you know, haven't yet, about the umpiring possibly in the game last weekend, in the Saturday game. And so I have let it go, even though I think we should introduce a new segment. We just went through a whole show, Things We Probably Missed. Sponsored by Morris Hodges.
Okay, I'm good with this. I like the working concept here.
Okay,
so we're going to have a segment, because when we do this, it could be like things we should have talked about earlier in the week. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, things we may have missed. Brought to you by Morris SEC, Hodges. Well, Morris Hodges or SEC umpiring. Okay.
With special help from Perry Costello. Golly. All right, let's get back together. Are we going to have an Easter show, or do we want to have an Easter Monday show?
Let's do an Easter Monday show. Right. Sunday will be an Easter day for me.
I think that's what it needs to be. Over in the Winfield house as well. Yes, I think a good Easter day is in line. Hey, if something breaks out, though, and we end up winning Friday, Saturday, something like that, we might hit the Twitter spaces. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Charlie Winfield, at Bart Gregory. We've done that a couple of times. You abandoned me the other day, but we had a great hour-long discussion about basketball, recruiting, about baseball.
We had tornadoes about to come through, and I had zero cell coverage. Zero.
That is why you invest in Wi-Fi, but that's
a different story. Good Wi-Fi. I got really good Wi-Fi, too. Had really good Wi-Fi.
Well, then you should have been connected on Twitter.
Well, anyway.
All right, we'll get together. No Sunday coffee. We'll have an Easter Monday coffee. And maybe, just maybe, an emergency podcast will break out between now and then. But thanks for listening. See you guys soon.